I think when we're looking at this deal, you have to answer three core questions. Does the agreement prevent Iran from becoming a nuclear power? Are the concessions granted to Iran worth the price of the agreement? And is it in the long-term national security interest of the United States? Now, the more the American public has learned about this agreement, the less they like it. Today, it's 21% approval, according to Pew Research. Even among Democrats, which are a party divided on the topic, only 27% support it. And that's because what began as a negotiation for trading of sanctions relief for Iran ending their program has become trading sanctions relief and a host of other awards for a temporary reprieve of their enrichment. We came in with a far stronger negotiating position, backed by six UN resolutions, to prevent Iran from enriching uranium. And we relinquished and ultimately collapsed on just about every aspect and key point and position that we were holding. Essentially, Obama drove into the car dealership with a Lexus and he left with a Yugo. So let's talk about what it does to their nuclear program. Now, you have to remember, on top of all of this, even if you say you like what it does to prevent its enrichment, there's a sunset clause built into it. It's not based on their behavior. There's a sunset clause. By year 15, they're free to have an industrial-sized nuclear program that will put them a screw's turn away from having a nuclear bomb. And we will have legitimized this. We will have said, thank you for breaking the NPT, thank you for lying and cheating, which is how we discovered that they even had these facilities, and we'll be saying thank you. Now welcome to the Club of Nations, and we've already given you all the diplomatic passes that you need beforehand, so we really love you, we're saddling up with you. Now, the Fordo facility, which you've heard about, is a facility that, again, when you keep hearing that we got what the administration said they wanted, let's remember what the administration said they wanted. Because remember, 2012, you have Obama and Romney in a debate, and Obama says that the only nuclear agreement he will accept is one where they end their nuclear program. He said that. Now, it was also, incidentally, the same debate where he laughed at Romney and said the 1980s called for the policy back because Russia is not a geostrategic threat to the United States, number one. We can see how things have turned out. But that's what he said in 2012. And remember, those who disagree with the agreement today are basically taking the same position he took in 2012, his own position, and now we're called the crazies, warmongers. I mean, it's absurd. So Fordo, which he promised to shutter, that again can produce uranium afterwards. Now, they might be destroying the centrifuges by enriching other materials, but during the agreement, they can build more advanced centrifuges. So it's like they'll be able to take that and then put it into Fordo. Now, again, they say they want to make medical isotopes. That would require 500 centrifuges, not the some 6,000 that we're leaving them with. So they get about 5,500 additional centrifuges than they need for that. They get to continue doing research and development on them. And again, the sunset clause after 10 to 15 years, and it's not based on a change in their behavior. That is key. So verifications, obviously, as you stand back and you look at how the negotiations unraveled, you can see that people were getting more and more upset about the positions that we were giving away. I mean, it almost got to the point where, like, please sign the deal already because we're going to wake up in the morning to see if our furniture is still there. It was giving away more and more. And so the last leg that the administration would rest on is that the verifications regime would be, you know, top-notch. And anytime, anywhere inspections are what were discussed by Ben Rhodes, his national security advisor, and by many people on their team. They said that in April, specifically when this last deal was signed, the one in Switzerland. That's on the record. That is what is necessary. So yes, we have 24/7 access to the sites that we know about. But we didn't know about their sites because they cheated on them. It's not like Iran came forward and said, here's my nuclear program, would you like to look at it? So everything that we don't know That's how they got to where they are. So for the suspected sites, yes, Iran can delay for 24 days. And they say themselves and repeat it that military sites are off limits. Now, if you want to go back and look at the record, any time we've had a partial agreement, there's been the United States coming out with a fact sheet, and then there's been comments from Iran. Iran has been 100% accurate in that every single time that there's been an agreement, and Iran has said, this is the way we view the agreement, and this is the way we believe it works, they have been correct. And the United States fact sheet has been incorrect. So they so far have been right. And when they're saying that their military sites are off limits, that's kind of telling. I mean, I want you to imagine standing in the middle of the street. You look to the left, you got a house, and the identical house is right across the street. Same smoke coming out of the chimneys, the exact same look. And on this house, you got a sign that swings and it says civilian. And the house across the street says military. So now you have two completely separate rules for how you're going to deal with it. The AP publishing, well, they didn't retract it, they corrected by saying that it was a military site, Parchin was a military site, not a nuclear site. But the document is remarkably simple. It's one page. And incredibly simple, far easier than the actual 159-page agreement to read and figure out what it means. So this is going to be the precedent now for how you're going to deal with sites, which is them conducting their own samples, which is like a baseball player mailing in their own drug sample from the privacy of their own home. It'd be unheard of. So, I mean, that really gets to the heart of the verifications regime, which is basically shredded, because we're less concerned about what it has that we know about. We're concerned about what we don't know about. So, with the Parchin facility, it may be non-nuclear, but this does get to the possible military dimensions, because there's plenty of... I mean, he likes to make the joke, Obama, that you just can't wheel off centrifuges away, and, you know, okay, funny, but other aspects for making a nuclear weapon are the detonators and the warheads. These are things that they haven't stopped, and this agreement really doesn't touch it. So making detonators at Parchin and conducting all that research, yeah, that's very important for a country that, you know, has the safest medical isotope enrichment facility in a mountainside in Fordo. So, I mean, you hear that this inspections regime is unprecedented. It may well be. But unprecedented does not mean effective, and that's the problem. So another reason for the IAEA, the possible military dimensions, is this has been something that the administration, again, at one of the last things that the critics of the deal, the people that were worried that we were giving too much, were holding on to, was a definition of what these possible military dimensions were. They came out with a list of 12, and in March, it was said that the IAEA said that they had stonewalled on 11 of 12 of those. I mean, this is dealing with the detonations, with how they're going to militarize their nuclear program. So they've continued to stonewall, and I got pages of quotes from the administration saying, again and again, oh, they'll have to come clean before we sign any deal. Oh, that'll absolutely happen. They'll have to let us know what they've done before we sign any agreement. And what they did is punt. They punted the football. Now we got an agreement without them having come clean on that. And again, here's how that relates to the verifications thing: is unless you know what they've done, then how do you know you got nothing to verify? You need to know where they've gone and how far they've gone in order to verify what they're doing. It's called baselining, essentially. The secret side deal. Again, this is going to be the precedent for all the other sites. And it will be able to hide other facilities that it wants to build along the way and just call them military. Now, sanctions relief, this one for me I find particularly enjoyable. Because the deal provides, as he says, yes, it is their money that's been locked up. So this deal provides for immediate upfront sales sanctions relief, going from, depending on the numbers you want to quote, from $50 billion to $150 billion, but what's $50 billion between friends? Once that's gone, we have no leverage. Zip. That's it. That's the whole story for us. Our leverage with them is the sanctions. So we're going to give that up within the first year, and Iran has commitments that stretch 10, 15 years, and all the while, we'll have given up our leverage. And I mean, and again, we're not doing this based on let's see how their behavior is, and we'll dole out some of this sanctions relief. I mean, beyond that, we've removed Qassem Soleimani from the list. This is one of the people on the list of sanctions that we're delisting. He's the head of the Quds Force for Iran, the Iran Revolutionary Guards. He is a very bad man. He is in charge. He was basically, when Iran wants to project its military force into other countries, this is who he calls upon. And he, Soleimani, has been in Russia meeting with Putin a couple weeks ago. And this guy is the Quds Force. They're responsible for killing no less than 500 American soldiers in Iraq with armor-piercing IEDs, improvised explosive devices. So we're delisting him. Like, this is, if you want to post your child for a terrorist, that's his picture. That's him. The sanctions relief we're giving him, to put in perspective, is 1/4 of their economy. So imagine if the United States got 1/4 of our economy as a financial windfall, what we could do with that. Okay, so on the other side of the sanctions, it's equally flawed. The snapback mechanism doesn't actually exist. I'm sorry to tell you. There's going to be no place to snap back the sanctions to. Plus, sanctions don't actually work that way. And also, in the agreement, you can read paragraph 37, 26, 29. If we snap back sanctions, they're freed of all their commitments. And it says that. So, in other words, if we choose one penalty, which is the only penalty, mind you, in this entire agreement, we have one penalty. So think about this as the death penalty, right? If you jaywalk, death penalty. If you shoot someone, death penalty. Shoplift, death penalty. So do you think, if the penalty is death, do you think that there's going to be a lot of prosecutions for jaywalking? I'd imagine not. All the small crimes, the small things that they do to cheat as they sneak out, will go absolutely unpunished because no one is going to want to throw the final snapback sanctions, which wouldn't really even work to begin with. Wouldn't want to throw that on and blow up the entire deal. And here also remember, the administration is on both sides of the sanctions issue. On one hand, it's never going to make Iran change its behavior, and they were going to unravel anyways. And then on the other hand, don't worry, I have a solution. If they cheat, we'll put back sanctions. That doesn't make sense. It's two sides of a coin. Conventional weapons, this is amazing. Thrown in the last hour, Russia joined Iran and demanded that the ban would be lifted on Iran's conventional military weapons. So that's gone in 5 years. Ban on ballistic missiles ends in 8 years. That was just thrown in the last, but we wanted this deal so bad, we weren't going to say no. So you would expect perhaps some humility from the president having brought back such a dangerously flawed deal. But Obama has gone for the hard sell. Okay, the straw man argument, it's this or it's war. The critics, the people who held his own position 2 years ago, are the crazies, as you just said. I don't know, maybe he thinks that if he cedes any points to his critics, that the whole case for the deal will begin to unravel. If you do accept that this deal, is good, you're going to have to believe three things. That Iran won't cheat once it has everything that it wants, and that's after year one. Number two, that down the road, about 10 years' time, by the time Iran can build a nuclear weapon with the world's blessing, it will have given up its revolutionary, expansionist, and terrorism-supporting ways. And number three, that he can persuade Iran's sworn enemies, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the Sunni Arab states, that they have nothing to fear. So That's a stretch to believe that or to buy that. So I think in the end, what this deal accomplishes is that it gives Iran billions in cash and sanctions relief to fuel its terror and war machine. It shreds the hard-won sanctions regime beyond repair. It'll enable Iranians to get away with the hiding of the full extent of their nuclear work, infrastructure, and know-how. And it will not have an enforceable inspections regime or a workable way to reimpose pressure on Iran when it cheats. And after just about a decade, most of the deal will expire, and Iran will be allowed to have a full-blown nuclear program, a screw's turn away from a nuclear weapon. So, in the beginning, I said that there were three questions that you need to answer. Does the agreement prevent Iran from becoming a nuclear power? Are the concessions granted to Iran worth the price of the agreement? And is the deal in the long-term security interest of the United States? The answer to all three is no, and we should be rejecting this dangerous deal. And like John said, I encourage you also to go read the deal on the internet. But one thing, don't read the commentary on it, because this is important. Read the deal. You keep hearing a lot about what people infer from the deal. Read the deal, because a lot of the things that you're hearing are not actually in the deal. And as I said, with an 100% track record for Iran being correct so far about what is in the deal and how it's interpreted, it's scary when you then listen to what Iran says and realize that that's probably how the deal is going to operate. Thank you.